you connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect for a Friday. What a beautiful day here in the state of New Mexico. Already have snow in the northern part of the state. I've even heard down in Portales they're having some storms. We are joined today by the team from Vallante, New Mexico. I want to introduce everybody to Dina Crawley. She is a co-chair with Dale Armstrong, and Dale just barely got here. Thank you, Dale, for getting here. And then Rhiannon Samuel, she is the executive director of Vallante, New Mexico, and many of you know that we are right now in the midst of a municipal election, local election here in Albuquerque and the surrounding villages, Los Ranchos and Tijeras, and electing officials, going over bond issues for the Albuquerque Public Schools. So a lot for us to talk about today. But I'm going to start by saying this. Dina is an executive with Dion's. And, of course, Dale Armstrong is the owner of TLC Plumbing and Heating. And I want to say to both of you, I have five children. I've utilized both of your businesses a lot. And I can tell you that your employees reflect kindness and professionalism.
Yay.
To all of us. And I mean that 100%. Plus, the product is really excellent. My kids love to go to Dion's. In fact, I have three children in San Diego right now, one in college and two that are working. And when they come back to New Mexico, they have to go two places. They have to go to Dion's. Uh-huh. Guess where the other one is?
Mexican food of some
no,
kind.
No, they have to go to Blake's Lot of Burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Because they like
nice.
The double meat green chili burger.
And fries. Yeah.
That's right.
Great taste.
Yeah, I mean, those are just traditions. And, of course, we have so many great New Mexican restaurants. They absolutely want to go to New Mexican food. And I say New Mexican food because we all know as New Mexicans that it's different than Mexican food.
Definitely.
It is different.
And it's tremendous. Dale, I've had water heaters installed and plumbing issues and all those kind of things. And TLC always arrives on time, always very nice, very kind, very professional. So I wanted to start because I think that is also true with what you're starting in Vallante. As evidenced by the young woman to my right, Rhiannon Samuel. She's your executive director, very kind, knowledgeable young person, and I'm excited to have you guys here today.
Thank you so much.
So thanks. Well, let's let our listeners know right out of the gate. Rhiannon, what is the mission of Vallante?
So, it's a made-up word. Let's start there. It's rooted in the Latin phrase via ante, which means way forward. So we combine those two for Vallante. And what we're trying to do is provide transparency and accountability for our elected officials to encourage them to work together to fix our crime, education, and quality of life issues in New Mexico, and then get that information on what those common ground solutions look like and the performance of their elected officials back to the people that they serve, so that they can engage with their government more. And that way, through that engagement, through that transparency and accountability, we'll see a better New Mexico together.
So education, crime, and quality of life. And you're attacking or addressing, I shouldn't say attacking, that's kind of a negative thing, but you're addressing what you consider to be bipartisan positions in each of those areas.
Correct.
Yes.
Dale, tell me the concept when you started. I know last time you were here, you gave us some overview. I don't want you to go through all the board members and stuff, but Dina was not with us last time, and she is your co-chair and managing helping to market pizzas and food for a very large organization. I mean, I don't know how many Dion's now. Dina, tell us.
Number 25 is being built.
25. That is amazing. So no shortage of pizzas.
Yes, an abundance of them. Yeah.
So Vallante, really, it came from me getting a little bit more involved in going to Santa Fe and watching the activities there, and then I went through a process of watching what they're doing, and then I saw, dang, there's so many things that we're not doing there, so why don't we create some transparency in what we are doing and what we could measure around the things that we think as a society what would be good for us in which education, crime, quality of life are all things. It doesn't matter what party you belong to. We should all be able to get around that.
Yes.
And I started thinking of my coworkers, and really our company is not anything without the team. And I thought, gosh, our team doesn't even know what's going on. And so when they go and vote, which we strongly encourage them to exercise that, I believe it to be a responsibility, they may not even know who the person they're voting for, how they're acting. And so we want to create transparency in that. And it really comes down to, so we began this ship sailing 2 years ago. We launched a little over a year ago, but I have learned so much, and we have some things wrong in New Mexico that are rooted around these issues, because I've been in some different leadership trainings and things that highlight things down that area. And we have a youth that's leaving, and then we have aging population that's staying. And so that really kind of puts us on a collision course in the future.
Very difficult to be a large employer and find people, quality employees in that kind of scenario.
Yeah.
So let me ask you just in general, and maybe this is a question for Rhiannon, Dina and Dale, you guys chime in as you like, but where is New Mexico failing in comparison to other states?
So in reality, since we've been a state over 100 plus years, we haven't really topped the list in anything good. When it comes to fourth grade reading and math scores, we're skipping along the bottom of 50th, 49th. High school graduation, although we're seeing improvements, which is fantastic, we're still 50th. Mm. And so those things, and then conversely, on the opposite end, we're number one for property and violent crime, things that we should be on the opposite ends of the list for.
Yes.
All of these issues have been longstanding and not really comprehensively addressed by our electeds, nor has our taxpayer dollars been spent in a reasonable way to address it. And so that's where we come into the mix. We're trying to figure out, well, of what's not working, what is being done, and what is being done well or not well at all, and those things that aren't being done well, let's scrap it and attack the things that are good with full force.
Yeah, and along those lines, one of the items that we tackled just recently was a school board questionnaire. So we picked five school boards throughout the state, and we sent questionnaires to everyone running for school board positions. And we said, what are your qualifications for this role? And what are you going to do if you are elected? Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, before this questionnaire, it was really difficult to find information on these candidates.
Wow. Well, we have a lot more to talk to Vyante of New Mexico representatives, Dale Armstrong, Dina Crawley, and Rhiannon Samuel. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosque at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible, verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
From the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford, Jim Williams in studio. And I am with Dina Crawley. She is a co-chair with Dale Armstrong of Vyante, New Mexico, and their executive director, Rhiannon Samuel. Thank you all for being here. I am embarrassed to say that even this morning I talked to Rhiannon, and I said, Rhiannon, I got to know a little bit more about your website. So she directed me to a couple of things. I immediately went in, clicked on a couple of things. Very first thing I learned today, this is not even 2 hours ago, is that you can go, even in the middle of the election right now, early voting is going on. The election ends on November 5th. So everybody needs to go and vote in the local elections. But we want this program to be kind of pointing you to some resources that are available at Vyante, VIANTENM.org.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to let Rhiannon talk about that. But you know what I found out? You can go register at the clerk's office right now, the same day you vote.
Yes, sir.
And I thought you had to have voted, you know, or you had to have registered like a month ago in order to be eligible, and that is not true.
No, things are changing in New Mexico. We're one of the first few states that are doing same-day voter registration, and that's in an effort to increase participation. Looking at 2018, we had about overall 55% participation rate of just registered voters. So think of all those people over 18 that aren't even registered and didn't participate. So that's our lawmakers trying to break down barriers so more people get out and vote and they don't feel that barrier of, I'm not even registered. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, there's a ton of information out there to help you figure out your own ballot, whether it's Women League of Voters Guide. It's at all public libraries right now. They have it on their website. Other organizations like the New Mexico Business Coalition, the Rio Grande Foundation, they have their own information on things like bonds or propositions that you're going to find. But I really encourage everybody who's listening today to go online, perhaps on our Vyante website. We have where you can go and download your sample ballot, and you're going to find things on there that you've never seen before. Like school board elections, those used to happen in February.
Mm-hmm.
But again, thanks to our lawmakers back in 2018, that was changed so all of our elections fall in November. These folks control 46% of our $7 billion budget, these school board members.
Mm.
You need to know who they are and how they're going to help your kids' school to make it better for them and for your kids. So really, really look at what you're doing. Have questions. I would love to help you out. Reach out to us at VyanteNM.org. We'll answer any questions you have.
Well, I love the website. Just in the few minutes that I have spent last time we met and today, I've already found out 50 things that I didn't know.
Wonderful.
And we're going to talk about some of the issues on the ballot. I know that you all, as a policy, don't take certain positions. But so right now, what I really want to focus on is I want to focus on New Mexico. We already asked the question, where is New Mexico failing? Obviously, we're at the bottom of education. I know we have all kinds of issues with crime. So again, I'm very limited in the metaphors and examples I can use because I'm an old basketball player. But I look at Tucson, Arizona. I think it's similar. I think we have a much more diverse climate. I like it a little bit better than the heat of Tucson, but I love Tucson. I think it's beautiful, but it's kind of one thing. It's always pretty warm and it's pretty brown in terms of the landscape, not a lot of grass and things because it's absolute desert. In fact, right on the edge of one of the largest deserts in the world. So it has its own beauty and all of those different things, but it has a university there called the University of Arizona. They used to have a basketball coach named Lute Olson, and they won a national championship in basketball. They were the best team in the country. Okay, so a little pressure on Paul Weir and Mike Bradbury, the women's coach. I think that we can win a national championship or be at that level in New Mexico. So I'm going to turn this around at you all. Can we be number one in education for kids in the country?
Yes. We have the resources. We have the skill set. I think, to your point, Dale has this excellent story out of Magdalena, and they're him coaching a basketball team down there, and just I'll let Dale take it from here.
So I wasn't coaching. I was just helping.
Sorry.
But so the Magdalena, I had girls, and the Magdalena girls program, we had moved there 22 years ago, and they were struggling, and some other parents and us, we got involved, and they said, yeah, the girls program had never made it to the playoffs. And so we said, well, so we were working with kids, and we spent time working with those kids. And then when my daughter and several of the other parents' daughters were in eighth grade, well, they made it on the varsity team. You can play 5 years of varsity, and they were pretty good players on the team as an eighth grader, and they made it to the playoffs. Well, that was 17 or 18 years ago. They've made it every year since.
Fantastic.
So it's a cultural change that needs to happen, and now they expect that. And so it's like we're expecting to be poor performers in education. We got to change our expectations.
You know, we just had on our program First Lady Nez of the Navajo Nation. And, of course, most of the Navajo Nation is in Arizona, but we have a large part of it up in the Gallup area, you know, Window Rock over to Gallup. And she was sharing that she really feels like, obviously, they want to preserve Navajo culture and traditions and all of those different things, but they also want their children to compete as Americans.
Yes.
And to achieve, you know, all that they could achieve. And that's what we want.
Yes.
I mentioned that I have five children. Three of them have already left the state. I want them to have a reason to come back here. Not that they ever will, but I want us to have jobs, and I want us to have an economy that's really strong. I grew up here. So when I was 7 years old, we bought a brand new home near Wantabo and Brentwood Hills in Albuquerque, and there were no homes from Wantabo all the way to the mountain. Now, this was before you two were born. Dale may remember that, but it was just dirt. So Tramway was dirt, just to give everybody a picture. Well, I went to El Dorado High School, and I remember when I was younger, you know, maybe elementary school, Hoover Aspen had just been built. Now it's called John Baker and Hoover. So to get in that time frame, I don't remember us ever locking our doors.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, we were sitting on our front lawn almost every evening in the summer, and the neighbors would walk by and say hello, and we'd, you know, have a soft drink and drink tea and talk and just have a really enjoyable time. I don't remember locking doors. And now, the neighborhood that I used to live in, there are bars on every window. And so you can just see what's kind of happened in the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years to our community. So I ask you about education. Can we be number one in education? Can we reduce crime back to a time where it's just a really safe place to be?
Yes, and there's bills on the table that are aimed to do just that. I think Dina has them pulled up, and she can give some examples.
I'll tell you what, Dina, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about these bills to reduce crime. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
The fact that we don't just have new life, we also have the promise of a deepening in hardship. God deepens us in our pain. He talks about coming out of the smelter like gold. Gold gets put into the refiner's fire. It only comes out more pure. It only comes out more clear. It only comes out more valuable because of the fire. You have permission. Just like Jesus, who suffered, and that was the precursor to glory. Suffering always leads to glory in God's hand. But when you face hardship, what you can believe is God is going to supersede what the enemy means, and your hardship is going to be like the flame that touches the gold, that causes it to be purified, that causes it to be strengthened. You're going to be deepened by your trial.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are in studio today talking to representatives of Beyonce New Mexico, Dale Armstrong and Dina Crawley, who are co-chairs, and their executive director, Rhiannon Samuel. Thank you all for being here. And Dina was just about to start going through some initiatives to help us reduce crime.
Yeah. So real quick on our... on how we work is one of the things we do is we produce a scorecard to give voters an idea of how their elected officials are working. And it touches on three areas. One is if they show up to vote. You'd be surprised to know that there are elected officials who are not voting at all.
Wow.
Yes, it's pretty crazy on that front.
But I know that's increased quite a bit, or the actual voting has increased since you all went to work 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, there is Mimi Stewart, for example. She showed up for 100% of the votes, which was terrific. And previous to that, we had not received, and no one had received 100% as far as we've been putting out our scorecard in terms of how often they were showing up to vote. So that was great. But then the other thing that we do is we pick focus bills, and we give our elected officials credit if they sponsor one of the focus bills. And then we also give credit on how they voted on those sponsor bills. And then they get a scorecard.
Okay.
So we are picking bills that we feel are really common sense that are going to do a lot of good for our state. So during the last segment, for example, we talked about crime and can we really make an impact there? And I believe we can. One of the bills we picked this year, for example, was HB 509, which was about criminalizing chop shops, essentially. So if you are involved in a chop shop, whether you're running it or selling parts to a chop shop, you will...
We're going to put you out of business with this bill.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And one of the frustrating things about that particular bill is it, and Rhiannon, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was voted on in committee but never actually made it to the floor for a vote.
Well, it made it to the House floor unanimously.
Okay.
It passed through the House and never got a hearing in the Senate.
Thank you.
And it's a common ground piece of legislation where it's like, let's eliminate this pipeline of stolen vehicles. And our senators never even had the opportunity to vote on it. And so still as a state, we don't have a bill that criminalizes that activity.
So firsthand testimony. 15 years ago, I was staying at a friend's house doing some house sitting. And I went to work at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got back to the house at 10 o'clock because I had forgotten something. My garage door was open. My friend's car was gone. So I thought, oh, he's come home and he forgot to close the garage door. Well, I walked in the house and this was very unusual. I immediately knew that someone had broken the house because they took all of his artwork. You remember the Dr. Seuss, the Grinch that stole Christmas, where all the hooks and things are hanging on the wall? That's what the house looked like.
No.
Somebody had stolen all of that. They stole the washer and dryer, which is really unusual. Most people don't spend that much time. So they had to be there a while, and they took his car. Well, here's the short of the story. On High Street, down by the University of New Mexico on the west side of the freeway, the next day at 12 o'clock noon, they found the car on blocks. Now, this was fascinating. I went down because I was trying to recover my friend's car. I thought, well, I can get it towed or whatever. No towing it. It was on blocks. And when you open the hood, only the engine block was there. Every single part professionally stripped right off that motor. And here was the craziest part. When you looked on the inside, the headliner, the dashboards, the power seats, everything gone, just metal on the inside. So you know that that car in less than 24 hours had been cleanly stripped. Those parts were sold. And so I'm really excited to have this be something that we have a chance. Now, is that part of this current election, or will that be in the legislature coming up?
It depends on if they reintroduce it in 2020. But as far as 2019 goes, they had 60 days to get it done, and they couldn't do it.
Who has to take the ball? One of these legislators has to pick up the ball and submit it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, submit a bill. And a lot of this depends on the leadership in the roundhouse and what they feel needs to make it to the floor for a vote.
So as I'm talking about this, I have a million questions because you know a lot more about it than I do, and I'm going to go completely off script. But I'm thinking, okay, first of all, you're kind of forcing people to go to work. Rhiannon pointed out the last time they are volunteering, which is maybe not a great system. At the same time, you know, how much do you pay them, and where's those tax dollars come? So there's all kinds of questions. But number one, you're trying to get people to actually participate in the process, vote, sponsor bills, do all those kind of things. I'm wondering why wouldn't everyone want to sponsor this bill? Are there chop shops giving money under the table to certain politicians? I mean, what is the motivation to not want to sponsor this?
I think the answer is multifaceted. For one, maybe not in this particular bill, but maybe with others, there's special interest groups that are more often represented in Santa Fe than the average citizen. There's also the challenge of the timeline. In every year, we have either 30 to 60 days, and sometimes there's just simply not enough time to get to everything they want to. Another challenge is there are some like hot topic bills that are introduced, whether it's climate control, climate change, gun control. And so that tends to take up a lot of their time, whether it's on the floor in committee, and it leaves these things that are inherently common ground and would probably move the needle just dying on the table because time is spent elsewhere.
Well, let's talk about that priority of time. Sure, there's a lot of people listening that might say, okay, abortion is way more important than coming up with a law against chop shops. But here's where I might differ from that. If we spend the entire legislative session arguing about abortion and gun control and all these other things that we never address in any of these other bills, then it hasn't done us any good about anything. So it seems like, and you do this, I'm sure, Dina, is you have to prioritize your time as an executive for a large business. And you have to figure out what the human interest issues are with all of your people, and you have to come up with a plan. So you have done that. You have actually prioritized these bills. So is it unreasonable to say to everybody, hey, let's sponsor these bills, let's address these, because it seems like it's a simple yes or no, would you say?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't slipped in what was the term we talked about last time, Rhiannon, where they were like fake bills?
Oh, dummy bills.
Dummy bills. Oh, that just scares me to death. There's no dummy bill here. We're talking about something that's already written, somebody can sponsor, and it will help stop crime in our state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do we go with other things, Dina? Give us some other examples.
You know, another one of our areas is, of course, education. My husband is a high school teacher and coach, and he always tells his students half of life is simply showing up. And they get themselves in trouble when they don't show up. And that's true for the legislators, but also on these bills. So there, for example, this past scorecard, we had House Bill 236, which was the Attendance for Success Act, which put some parameters around attendance in the classroom.
And again, is that a bill that is actually being sponsored and is going to be considered by the legislature?
That one passed this
past
session, which is good. So we don't, Viante doesn't just look at things that died or we wish could have gone through. We also want to give credit where it's due, where they really did work together, and that's an example of it.
Outstanding. Well, unfortunately, we got to take another break. But plenty more segments left with you guys. We'll be back after these messages.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
We're going to break each item into small, actionable steps. I cannot overstate how important this is. What do we know? One of the biggest forms of slack manifests itself in either inaction or indecisiveness. We're overwhelmed, and so we don't do anything, or we can't make a decision, so we put things on pause. What do? We have a big project that overwhelms. Oh my gosh, where do I start? So we procrastinate, and we end up with inaction. Or we've got a complicated decision to make. There's a lot of moving parts. We're not sure what to do, so we procrastinate, and suddenly we have indecision. Look for all the different areas where you are not acting or not deciding. Why does this matter? Procrastination is the thief of time. It is slack. So instead of putting down on your to-do list the big project, we're going to simplify and simply put down the next step.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I am in studio this afternoon with the leadership of Viante New Mexico, and they are a bipartisan group that is holding accountable our officials. They are trying to improve New Mexico's quality of life, reduce crime, and improve education. And we're excited about those noble goals. But I have to start this segment by saying, look, can a bunch of diverse people, our audience is largely people of faith. They're listening to Bible studies. They're encouraged every day by the things that we're talking about even now. Mm-hmm. And I want you guys to share, how can we all work together, even people that don't agree with each other's religious philosophies or ethnic kind of diversity? Can we all work together and make it happen?
So for me, it was one of the reasons that I wanted to start this, because at TLC, we have all that. Hmm. It's a very diverse group, but through finding common goals and having visions and then having the pathway, you know, laid out of how to get there, we can all end up in the same place.
Yes.
As a company, and we can develop a culture, and we can create momentum, and we can actually have big positive impacts on the community. Well, that's the same thing that will work here. We just need to get people to get involved, at least to get out and vote. And if you're going to get out and vote, have some knowledge of what you're voting about and not just make it a party line thing. My deal is, let's don't vote Republican. Let's don't vote Democrat. Let's vote New Mexico.
Yes. I have a guest that's periodically on my program. His name is Steve McKee. You know him, Dale, and Steve has been the president of the largest advertising agency in New Mexico for a long time. And he said that he's gotten involved in New Mexico, or researching New Mexico politics, because he didn't want New Mexico to be last in all the good things and the worst in all the bad things. So he started to think about how he could market New Mexico. Of course, when you think about New Mexico, if you're outside of us, you obviously, one of the first things you think about is blue methamphetamine.
Oh, gosh.
You know, from Breaking Bad. I mean, you just do. I mean, everybody I meet when I'm at an airport in Phoenix or San Diego, they're always going, that's where Breaking Bad was filmed, right? And I think it's funny because I'm not sure that's a good thing.
No.
And then, of course, we have all kinds of crime statistics. At one point in the last 24 months, I heard it said that we have more cars stolen, not per capita, but more cars stolen in New Mexico than any other state in the country. That is nuts. We only have 2 million people. There can't be that many cars. I mean, you got that many cars in San Diego, and they're right on the border. And it's hard for me to believe that we have more cars. So now I've been fortunate in that recently visited with some officials, including Chief Geyer of the Albuquerque Police Department, and those statistics are improving. Mm-hmm. And there's some neat steps that the police department are taking. I feel so badly, and I'm going to say this without the Albuquerque Police Department's permission. We've got to get the DOJ out of here, you guys. They are inhibiting the professionals that we have in this state from doing a, or in this city, from doing a good job of law enforcement. They need to recruit 400 or 500, even more quality police officers, and they're having a hard time because of all this scrutiny that the DOJ. Now, has that been corrected? I think it has. I think that the leadership now is really doing everything they need to do. Now we just simply need more numbers. We need men and women in law enforcement, and it needs to be an efficient way for them to do their job. I talked with a local sheriff, and he told me that the paperwork that the Albuquerque Police Department has to do every time there's an incident is literally 3 or 4 times what they have to fill out. So as a native New Mexican, time for DOJ to get out of here. Let's figure out the end of that. Can we get them out of here in 24 months? Can we, you know, whatever it is. So let's talk now about education. And we've got school board elections going on right now. Again, want to remind everybody that you can go to an early voting place.
Yes, sir.
I know some people, Rhiannon, that don't even realize you can go vote. You don't have to go to your precinct like we used to have to do 10 years ago. You can go anywhere.
Yep.
And if you're a registered voter, and you said it earlier, you can register to vote today at the county clerk's office. Mm-hmm. You can't do it online because the election's already going.
Yeah.
But you can go to the county clerk's office and you can register, and same day you can go vote. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, for all the somewhat negative things that we've been talking about with regard to New Mexico, we have positives.
Yeah.
Our voter access is really, really good. Same day voter registration, being able to early vote. Not every state and every citizen is afforded that right. Or even absentee voting. All of these little elements give you an access point to have your voice be heard.
Right. And the absentee voting, I haven't done that. So that's where you request an actual ballot and it's mailed to you?
Correct. Mailed to you. You have to have it sent back by a particular date, and then it can be counted.
And if I can make a pitch for that, that's my favorite way to vote, because I can look at every issue in depth and every candidate. So if there's a particular candidate that I didn't know about before that moment, I can take my time at home, sip on my tea or coffee, and learn all about them. And that way I'm not in the moment feeling rushed with a line of people behind me. Mm-hmm. So I really prefer to do it that way.
So you all have handpicked issues that you feel are bipartisan. They're issues we can agree on as a community. And I like that. I think it's really neat. How about the candidates?
Yeah.
So you got a bunch of school board people running right now.
So as Dina had mentioned earlier in our conversation, access to information on who's running, how to get in contact with them, or even positions that they're going to take is slim to none at the moment.
Mm.
In New Mexico as a whole, we have 89 school districts.
Wow.
Yeah. Somewhat baffling to me. We have 33 counties, but 89 school districts. And to that end, each one of them have 5 elected board members who set, who approve hire and fire their superintendent. They approve the budget that school spends. And so as Viante, we were looking at, well, we're critical, or we're paying attention to our legislators and how they allocate money for education. Then where is that pipeline? Where is it going next? So then it goes to those school board candidates. And so we created a survey. We sent it out to we selected 6 districts. Albuquerque Public Schools is one of them. And we looked at all the candidates that are on the ballot this time around. And we just asked them to be on record. How are you going to commit more money to the classroom? How are you going to pay teachers more? Understanding that teacher shortage is an issue, what steps are you going to take in your elected seat to see a change there? And for many of them, it was the first time that they ever had to answer a questionnaire like this. And it gives the voters another access point for information. Another startling number. So I mentioned 89 school districts, right? Mm-hmm. New Mexico, thanks in large part to our oil and gas industry, we have a $7 billion budget for FY20. Mm-hmm. Of that, 46% is committed just for K through 12. That's $3.25 billion that are going to our schools and supposed to be going to our children for a better outcome. People are shocked to hear that number because of the percent of our overall budget, New Mexico is one of the best. We're number three in the entire country for how large of a portion that we commit to our education system.
But yet we're ranked really low in terms of education.
Exactly.
Where is that disconnect?
That's why we got to start looking at all the people who have a say. These school board members, they're a part of that puzzle, and we need to start communicating with them more, seeing the change that we are asking for, the change that we want to see in those schools, and paying attention how they're spending our money. It's our taxpayer dollars. See how they're using it.
I mentioned to you that I'm a retired banker.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, and Dale will know this because he's done a lot of construction stuff and probably had to finance construction projects. And when you go to get a loan at a bank for a construction project, there's some really stringent accountability. You get a draw on, say, 20% of that loan, and an inspector from the bank comes out and says, yes, you told us that you spent this much on this portion, and it looks like all those items are completed, so now we'll give you some more money.
Mm-hmm.
But for all of the money that you're talking about in this system, it doesn't seem like there's any accountability.
Well, no. And then even the people who are there, I'm thinking most recently this past week, there's two school boards that have been in the news. One of them is Cuesta. One of their school board members was found to have a felony, and you're not supposed to have any sort of criminal record to be an elected official like that. And yet he is keeping his seat despite calls, even now on behalf of the attorney general, to step down. This is one story is similar for a lot of our school districts in New Mexico, and that's why this transparency that we're working towards at Viante is important.
We'll have more to talk about with Viante, New Mexico. We'll be right back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You'll get a better deal and a better experience. And every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Christianity is a cross-culture. Skip High Tech expands on this point.
More than that, our whole Christian culture, our whole point of contact with God and fellowship with each other is rallied around a crucified and risen Savior.
The reason for the cross is God's holy character.
But he is so perfect, so impeccable, so flawless, so pure, that he can't just hang out with imperfection.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com. And check this out from Skip.
We have, you and I have, an imputed righteousness, not an intrinsic righteousness. It's a righteousness given to us, but not earned by us.
It's a free gift.
It's a free gift.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzig YouTube channel and listen up.
Jesus experienced that darkness so that you could have light. Jesus experienced death, but in his death, like that crimson crocus, he gave life, new life.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back in studio with Viante and New Mexico representatives. Dale Armstrong, he is the founder, and the co-chairman, Dina Crawley. She is an executive with Dion's Pizza, and we just love Dion's, have to say that. My children, of which my youngest is now 19, were raised on Dion's.
Thank you, me too.
Now, I don't know, Dina, my nutritionist, Jennifer Bryant, who was on with me yesterday, she, I'm sure, would love all your salads and some of your sandwiches, but she may not like all that cheese. What do you think?
Different bodies need different items, and we're always happy to customize, whether it be a lettuce wrap sub or salad with extra protein. We're happy to accommodate.
I like the personal pizza that has cheddar cheese and chicken and green chili on it. Oh,
the Duke City.
Yes, I love it. It's just
one.
Fabulous.
Popular.
Yeah, I mean, it's New Mexico green chili. What can you say? And it's always really beautiful chili. It's really green.
It's a special blend from Bueno just for Dion.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Wow. You guys have done some great negotiating. Well, let's keep talking about the school board people that are running. So will you all take a position and say, vote for this person, not vote for this person, or you just give the objective information?
No, sir. So what we're trying to do with Viante is just present information to the voters, both pros, cons, or whatever transparency we can do, so you as a voter can make up your own mind. We're trying to inform people, not influence them.
And Rhiannon, if I may, I've learned so much along this Viante journey, but I've been surprised on the school boards of how little competition there is on some boards. So many positions, there's just one person, that's it. And you can't find any information on that person. So there's nothing to tell voters what qualifies them for that job or what they intend to do when they're elected. And for me as a voter, I really struggle in that area. So we need good people to run for our elected positions, including the school board, given how much money they control.
Well, I know we could come up or suggest a law for everything. You know, like you have to submit a resume or you have to do this or that. But I say that only because, and I'll turn to Dale because he's employed a lot of people over the years. People come to you and they want a job. Do they typically have to give you a resume, or they have to fill out an application that is like a resume?
Yeah, there's a process to go through to vet someone.
And there's not a process, it sounds like, for school board members?
Minimally. So it's really just seeing if they live, if it's a districted school board or district, then to see that they live there. But other than that, the bar is quite low.
Now, there's probably a huge time commitment, though, because the schools have to have – there's all kinds of dynamics going on in schools. I don't care if you're in the smallest New Mexico community or the largest. There's still probably a lot of kids. If you have 20 kids, you've got 20 issues coming up all the time, and you have to give a lot of attention. So are most of those volunteer positions?
Yes, they are. It depends. I can't recall off the top of my head if it's a per diem or a minimal salary, but it's really not much, quite frankly.
Right, right. So what are the things that you see that you'd like to change the way school board officials are even put on the ballot? You really, a little more transparency as to who they are and what they stand for and what they do?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, any more information we can have, the better. As we were conducting research across the state, Albuquerque is not subject to this story, but it was challenging to even find contact information for the people running. I think at a minimum, we should have some sort of email address. So if you are a voter, they may not have the means to have their own website, of course, because it's a small district, but how can I get in touch with them so I can ask them my questions and know this is a person I want for my kids and me.
Now, would Viante put forth a bill to require a little bit of, an application process, some kind of process like Dale was alluding to that he uses with employees to actually apply? I mean, I don't know how these things happen. So I think it's a great idea, but I don't know what the process is to get that done.
I'm hesitant to say what we would do going forward. I can just say what we've done to this point. The Viante Board of Directors, including Dina and Dale here, we're going into strategic planning for 2020. And knowing that 2020 is a huge year for New Mexico, we have all 112 legislators on the ballot. We have a presidential race. We have congressmen or senators. So we have a lot to bite off and chew. School boards won't be on that ballot. But there are certainly many areas that we can dive into and help the voter out with more information.
Now, I noticed going to VIANTENM.org, Viante, New Mexico, your website, that there is quite a bit of information. Like you've already mentioned, Rhiannon, you link to the Women League of Voters.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've actually mentioned the Rio Grande Foundation. There's not a link, but you've mentioned them as a resource for finding out information. And, you know, there's no secret. Your organization, Rio Grande Foundation, they are, you both have a bipartisan perspective, but there is leanings, I guess, that you could say, more conservative maybe with the Rio Grande Foundation. But the bottom line is you have to, as a resident of the state of New Mexico and as a voter, you have to go in and do a little research. And you have a slogan on your website about you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you have to know what you're doing in order to, like, move the state forward together. And with regard to all the other organizations that look at policy or grade our legislators, we're all pieces of this overall puzzle to help move New Mexico forward. And we're all partners in it. We may not think different or the similarly on some things, but the service we're providing is the same, helping get people more informed and educated so they can get out and engage with their electeds and vote for the change that they want to see in our state.
So let's shift gears now away from the candidates, and let's talk a little bit about the ballot that we have before us right now. And I know you don't address issues like democracy dollars, but I want to address that because I've had a couple of guests on the show talking about that particular issue, Steve McKee being one of those. And also Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. And so democracy dollars is basically proposition number two. It's submitted to the ballot by a group that or a combination of groups that go out and get a big petition signed, and then the city council allows them to put this initiative on the ballot. It's essentially asking for candidates. It addresses residents as having a $25 voucher that they can give to a candidate that's running for a particular office. But it has so much vagueness in it. What is a resident? Is that somebody that just got out of the New Mexico State Penitentiary? Is that a baby that was born yesterday? Is that, who knows? And so my problem is, this is on the ballot, but in my opinion, there's not enough information to put it before the voters. Because the scariest thing that I can imagine, and I'm going to go back to my banking background. If I loan you $500,000 to build a house, and you go spend $400,000 of that money on vacations all around the world, and the house doesn't get built, I'm in big trouble because that money's not free. And there's no collateral. There's nothing to show what was built. So there's a big issue with that. I feel exactly the same way about this money. If I'm going to be taxed, frankly, $25, because if there's a 500,000 residents in Bernalillo County or in Albuquerque, you take that times 25, that's $12,500,000. Where's that money coming from? Well, we have to pay it. That's the bottom line. It's going to be a tax. I don't want $12,500,000 going to someone that I can't even tell is a qualified candidate because there's not enough information, as we've already stated, in the process to tell us who they are and what they're going to vote for. So to me, there's too many loopholes, so I'm going to say democracy dollars, I'm not voting for it this time because I don't think there's enough information. What about other issues?
You know, I do want to touch on democracy dollars a little bit, not taking a position myself, but it's worth noting, like, the origin of it all is who funds candidates and their campaigns. That's another challenge that we face in American politics. This was a solution that was proposed that would address, like, probably the same demographic of wealthier, more often than not, men being able to donate to candidates and making it more equitable so that others can support the candidates that they want to see in office. Now, that has presented some challenges in places like Seattle and maybe not changing the behavior as it was intended. But ultimately, what these kind of things, and Proposition 1 and Proposition 2, Proposition 2 and 1 talking about campaign financing is to, the intention is to diversify the candidate pool. Mm-hmm. Now, the voters need to read each one of them and see, are they accomplishing the goal from that was set out?
Right. And Proposition 1, right now we're paying a dollar to candidates, and it's basically raising that to $1.75. I believe it's close to that.
Yeah, and it's bringing us in line with the state code that just was updated this past legislative session. Mm-hmm. So again, get informed, read it before you head to the voting booth, because as Jim has mentioned, there are certain things that don't sit right with some folks. Mm-hmm. So you need to make up your own
How
mind
about
on
the
what it
bond
does.
Issues? We've already talked about APS and this massive amount of money that they need to keep the district going. And again, I'm not criticizing. It, mm-hmm. I'm sure it is a massive task to keep their facilities and everything up to par. But again, we're already spending, what, number three in the country in dollars for education, but we're rated last?
Correct.
That's a scary thing. What do you think about the bond issues?
I can take this one, too. I'm looking to Dean and Dale. So I think bonds are a fascinating thing that each of us voters have a voice in, specifically to the APS bond question. I talk to parents all the time who say, my kid's classroom is falling apart. We need better technology. We can't even drive into the parking lot. There's a challenge right there. The influx of money, the intent with a bond is for it to go to those specific things. But again, I think in addition to supporting our facilities, we need to be asking, how are they spending all this other money that they have at the district? Mm. So it can't just be, here's your Band-Aid solution, we're going to help you, but we need to hold them accountable throughout the process. And every year thereafter, when the legislature says, you have this chunk of money, us as citizens need to say, are they spending it wisely too?
Mm. And can there be a staged measurement for whether they're actually spending the money throughout the year correctly, kind of like a draw on a construction loan?
Well, I think it's return on investment, right? And so if we're always trending 50th and we're third in the nation per pupil in spending, I don't think we're getting a good return on our investment.
Yes.
And I think it takes a consolidated effort and a lot of collaboration to actually maybe take some bold steps and make move that needle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are just afraid to take those bold steps. And, you know, it's just very, very interesting. The more, I think Dina and I are in the same space, is that the more that we've gotten involved in Viante and the more that we've learned, it's kind of a little scarier than what we originally had signed up for. There is some issues, and they're not like, not as simple as just crossing the street.
Right.
They're very complicated and very involved, but with good intention, you can move a mountain.
Dina, I'm going to bring up Dion's again. And again, compliment you because you hire a lot of high school students.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go in and you order, they're very professional. They're very nice. They don't skip a beat. The
mm-hmm.
Pies come out really quickly. The salad's great. I mean, everything's great. Do you find that people are not educated as high as you would like them to be?
You know, we have some wonderful employees, and we really have been very intentional from a Dion's perspective about supporting our communities. Mm-hmm. So even our tour program, I did a tour myself this morning with a group of very sharp fourth grade boys. And so we want them to succeed when they're in elementary school, middle school, and high school, and we are very selective. We only hire about 1 in 10 who apply. So I really do believe we're getting cream of the crop.
Mm.
But for us, it's a matter of getting really great employees, but it's also a matter of keeping them in the state as well.
Mm.
So like your kids, we don't want them to move for different opportunities. We want those opportunities to be here.
Well, the music's playing, and I'm sorry we're out of time, but I appreciate you so much being here, and this just gives us an excuse to get together again. Thank you all for being here.
Viante,
New Mexico.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.